Oh, that's right. We are talking about happy days. We need to say a happy birthday today to the Marine Corps. They are 236 years young, and what a day it is for them. Tomorrow, of course, is Veterans Day, and all week long we've had veterans, people that have served, and it is my utmost pleasure to present to you today our Adjutant General for South Carolina, Major General Robert Livingston. How are you doing today, Major General Robert Livingston?
I'm doing very well, Ann. How are you?
I'm very good, very good. And we have with us somebody that you wanted to have with us today, Colonel Ronald Franklin Taylor. How are you doing, Colonel Taylor?
I'm doing great, Ann. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I am just thrilled to be able to talk about some of the things we're going to be talking about here today. But first off, I want to thank both of you for your service to our country. The very fact that I'm able to be on the radio talking with you is one of the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and y'all have been out there helping to protect.
Well, on behalf of all the great men and women that have been there and are still there, you're certainly welcome, and we do it with great pride. And we just, of course, we want to remember those that are currently over there that are continuing to fight for our freedoms.
Absolutely, we do. And first of the week, we had somebody that had just come back from being over there. So we've got, I will say we got a little taste of what it's like when we talk about the sand and the grit that everybody endures over there and the nasty water and the smells. I've heard it's not an oasis over there.
It is an interesting society. Let's just put it that way. When you take 4 million people and cobble and cram them in and you don't have any developed sewer system or water system, it can get quite interesting. So, throughout Afghanistan, it's a culture that we can work with, and I think we, although it's very difficult and it's very primitive in many areas, it's also something where we continue to make some progress, and I'm excited about what our young men and women continue to do.
Absolutely. And of course, our folks in Iraq will be coming home by the end of this year. Do you, in your personal opinion, Colonel General, do you think that they're ready?
Well, you know, you never know until you turn it over to people. But I think we're as certain as possible that they are ready. The Iraqis have been taking the lead for the last year, and they've been doing quite well with it. Now, you know, the opposition, whether it be Al-Qaeda or whether it be other extremist groups or influence from Iran, they're still going to have to battle those conditions. And they are in a situation where bad things can happen. There are going to be setbacks, but there are also going to be successes. And I think the Iraqis are prepared to move forward. And, you know, we're not going to completely abandon them. We will have some troops in the area that, if necessary, we can do, you know, whatever's needed to safeguard the interests of the United States.
And safeguard the interest of the people over there. Our country is one of the few countries somebody brought this up to me, and I never really thought about it before, that goes out and helps protect those that need protecting.
Well, you know, and that's in our interest, too, though.
Yes.
Because this is a world where what happens in a foreign country now affects us. And it's no longer can we turn around and say, you know, we're just going to be isolationist and this great ocean keeps us apart from overseas, even small groups, as proven during 9/11, can reach out and cause injury to our people here at home. So we can't ignore our neighbors, no matter how far away they are. And so we are one of those countries that we have the vision that we understand that we're an interconnected world. So, it's, yes, we help others, but it also helps us.
You're right. But first off, I want to spend some time talking with you, maybe after we have Colonel Taylor here, talking about our Vietnam vets and other aspects. But I did want to go ahead and get Colonel Franklin Taylor on the air with us. Would you like to introduce him, or would you like me to do it?
Well, I'll say a couple of things about him, and then you can fill in any gaps. How about that?
That sounds great.
And I tell you, I'm excited to work with Colonel Taylor, Ronnie. We go way back, and he has been known for his excellence. And Ronnie went with me to Afghanistan. He's also a veteran of the Gulf War. Just an outstanding soldier, a soldier that has stood up to do the right things. But what he is especially interested in and does a great job is taking care of our families, taking care of our troops, and taking care of our veterans. And because of his abilities, we have asked him to gather all of the things in the National Guard and some of the volunteer organizations throughout the state of South Carolina that touch our families, veterans, and troops, and help coordinate that. Because even in our small organization called the South Carolina National Guard, we had 17 different areas that were trying to help troops. And the, of course, the all well-intended people, but you know, getting that coordinated, it was just a massive task. And this is what Ronnie's out there doing. He's helping our troops get jobs. He's helping our families deal with difficult situations, and he has a wonderful team, and I'll let him tell about his team and all the things he's doing, but we are really excited about it. Fact is, I think last time I was on, I was telling you about we were putting this together, and Ronnie's the guy that has put this together for us.
Well, that's terrific. We have, we're very, very glad to have Colonel Ronald Franklin Taylor with us here today. This program was one that you wanted to get together. It sounds terrific. Colonel Taylor, what can you tell us today?
Well, good afternoon, Ann and General Livingston. Again, thanks for the opportunity to be here and talk a little bit about the J-11 Directorate and what we're doing. This, it is a great program, and we're doing a lot of great things. The kind of background for the J-11, you know, as General Livingston discussed, was, you know, there were 17 different branches that are spread out across the South Carolina National Guard, both Army and Air, that were under different branch chiefs, different directorates. And it's, what we do is to consolidate them all under one directorate, which we have done, to create synergy and to create one focus to maximize our efforts in taking care of our service members, both Army and Air, and their family members and our veterans. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're in active duty, when you come back from a deployment, come back from overseas, you know, you come back to a military installation where all these services are consolidated, and, you know, they're very close to you to help you, you go through any of the struggles that you may have. So, vice versa in the Guard, when you come back from deployment, you know, you go through a process, you're out processed, but you may move back to a rural area of South Carolina, and those services aren't there to help you as much as on active duty. So what we're trying to do is consolidate all those services to reach out to everyone in South Carolina, and not just the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard, but any veteran and any service member. And what we've taken all of our services, for instance, the 17 different branches, we have the Resiliency Risk Reduction and Suicide Prevention Program, Director of Psychological Health, Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program, Suicide Prevention Program Manager, the Air Family Program, the Yellow Ribbon Program, the Army Family Program, and the Family Readiness Support Assistance, Military Family Life Consultant, Military One Source, Youth Programs, Family Assistance Centers, Military Funeral Honors, the Employee Support for the Guard and Reserve, and Deployment Services Branch, which General Livingston alluded to a little bit, but I'll come back to in just a minute, the Warrior Transition Unit, all of our wounded service members, the transition assistance advisor, how to help soldiers transition and go through that mirage of programs out there and that network to make sure they understand those programs, and the survivor outreach services program.
Colonel Taylor.
To bring all of these under one hat so we can synergize them and have efficiency and effectiveness to take care of our service members.
Colonel Taylor, is there any program that's not under this? That might be easier.
But there's a lot of programs. You know, we have a great team, and the South Carolina National Guard has always had a great team. But you know, have them under one director has really able to allow us to be more effective and synergize and again and focus on the needs of our service members and their families.
Well, I know one of the things that's so difficult is what families go through, particularly while somebody is deployed. And are some of these services going to be available to family members also?
Yes, ma'am. That is, you know, part of the family programs, the FRISAs, which is the Family Resiliency Assistance, Support Assistance. What their intent is they go out and actually help units create family readiness groups. That's when those families are able to get together and talk and share, you know, thoughts and issues and problems and help each other. You know, if someone's washing machine goes out, you know, how can she get the washing machine fixed or he get his washing machine fixed while their service member is deployed? So, yes, now that is the kind of intent. And we also try to bring them at least once during the deployment and have an event for them where they can come in and talk about any issue they have, and we provide additional services for them. But, yes, now that is one of the...
Well, I know.
Let me mention something about this, and this is an interesting phenomenon. And families have a very difficult time when their troops go across and do things when they're away. But really, some of the great challenges, and this is some of the things that we will work through for many, many years. The great challenges is when those service members come back, and they're different. They're different. That's neither good nor bad, but they're different, and their families are different. And then to merge those two different people back together into a cohesive unit sometimes can be very hard on the troop and the family. So, you know, a lot of people think that the hard part is when they're gone, and that is hard. It's very hard on everybody. But it's equally as difficult, in fact, is for some people more difficult when they come back. And that's a piece that we have to deal with for many, many years, especially those who have had trauma either in their family or the troop has had some serious trauma in theater.
Oh, I can't imagine having, let's say, my husband off and then having to handle all sides of the family, the children and everything, and then have my husband come back and say, okay, I'm in charge now.
There you go. And not only that, but your husband comes back, and he's just a little different. He may be a little bit tenser, maybe a little bit shorter, just and has thoughts that and fears that he didn't have before.
Well, you know, we have had Marion Sturkey on with us a couple of times here, and one of the things that he talks about is the difference between what life is like when you're in country, he was in Vietnam, and when you come back, and they actually have something, I don't know if they still have it, it's called a couth table, where you actually learn how to assimilate yourself into being a little bit more couth.
That's probably a good idea for all of us there.
Exactly. But these are things that are so different, and particularly there's that de-stressing, I would presume, from being in country or in the desert and then coming back here to the United States.
And that's a piece that Ronnie, and I'll let Ronnie get back into that, but that's a piece that he's really having to work through and will continue to work through.
Absolutely. Ronnie, what can you tell us about that aspect? Because I know that's a big part. They may be coming back. The job that they had may not be there. If they've been gone for a year, that's not a short time to hold a job.
Right. And that's one of the general limits that passed me is we don't take care of a soldier today. You know, it's for the lifetime. So, you know, they're a soldier. You know, they're a veteran forever from now on. So how do you put these programs in place to make sure this is a lifetime program to make sure we're taking care of them? But we do have programs in place for the behavioral health and for the psychological health if there are any issues like that. Specifically, when a unit comes back from a deployment, we have three distinct events. We have a yellow ribbon event for 30 days when they come back. This basically bring that soldier or that service member and their family together in one location, that entire unit, so they can be with their peers, you know, who they were deployed with, and talk about anything that may affect their life. Give them that right counseling, and also the one issue you talked about was employment. If they come back and they find that they are unemployed, we have created an employment services branch where we are basically helping soldiers and service members and their families find jobs. There's a lot of people out there who really want to help veterans, and I know the First Lady, Michelle Obama, has come out with a very recent public service announcement that talks about joining forces to make sure we're taking care of our service members and their families. So we're specifically targeting our soldiers and our service members to help them find jobs, and we do that by just basically giving their name, and we bring them in the office, and we will sit down and create a resume of their job skills, their education, and help them pinpoint a job that is that they desire and specific for them to get them going back in the civilian world again. And we have been very successful, and you know we kind of keep this program off. Really, the 1st of October is really the kickoff portion of it. We've already found about 100 service members' jobs already. So
That's terrific.
Very lucky and very fortunate. But, again, that community out there who we've been able to go out and partner with and talk with, and they want to hire veterans. When they hire a veteran or a service member, they're getting an individual who is a leader, who's been trained, who gets a physical every year, who gets immunization shots every year. So they're getting an individual who's kind of a cut above some other individuals out there, and it's been a very responsive program and very supportive. So it's been good right now, and look for better things to come with it. You know, I think we can do more with it, and my intent is to have everyone in the National Guard a job, you know, and not just a job that
they're proud to have.
That's their lifestyle, and you know, there is such thing as underemployment out there also, so we want to try to make sure we help those individuals who are currently underemployed to help them better themselves as well.
Absolutely. Now, you know, you're having a meeting, I understand. It's in Spartanburg next week for retirees, veterans that are retired from the military. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is mainly this particular one, and I will. So we are reaching out to all veterans with the jobs programs and things like this. This particular one is centered around the National Guard retirees. We've got one in Spartanburg on Wednesday, and then we have one in Columbia on Friday. And both of those, the one in Spartanburg is over at the National Guard Armory at USC Upstate at the 228th headquarters over on the USC campus.
And what time is that?
Say again?
What time is that?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Early
right.
Here.
Yeah,
okay.
we like to start early.
Yeah, I guess you do.
But we're gonna give all of our great retirees an update of what's going on in the National Guard, making sure that we have the benefits straight for them, and just reach out to them because they have served us so well, and you know what? They still serve. They reach out to our communities, and it's all about the relationship between the military and the people that we serve, and that's part of our the tentacles out into the community, and we want to hear from people.
Well, you know, I think one of the things you can say about the National Guard, it used to be the National Guard was, if they were gone a couple of weeks, that was a lot. But now we have them going for a year at a time. I mean, the National Guard is really as much part of the Army or the Navy or the Marines as any other part.
There is no doubt about that. In fact, is at one time or several times in Iraq and also Afghanistan, we were 50% of the actual combat force in theater, and that National Guard as a whole, not South Carolina, but South Carolina certainly did their part, and you know, our Air Wing, don't want to forget the Air Force, we led the charge into Iraq. We led the charge during Desert Storm, flew the no-fly zone, and our aviation right now is the aviation for Iraq. So, you know, the National Guard plays that very critical role. In fact, is we just spent a couple of days up in Washington with the chiefs of staff, both the Army and the Air Force, and the General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and you know, they say we are a total force, we're a total operational force, and that will continue. That's just not a 10-year phenomenon. That's something that is going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Well, it is terrific what our veterans and what the National Guard, the Air National Guard, all of y'all do out there. I know that Colonel Ronald Taylor needs to leave us now. I believe you have an appointment. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. But I, you know, just want to say, you know, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the J-11 and the Service Member and Family Care Program. And we're trying to, the biggest thing is make the community aware of what our service members and their families are going through. And any support will be greatly appreciated. And the communities of South Carolina are very supportive of our military and especially the National Guard. And just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to serve and there's anything we can do for you, you know, we're here and ready to serve.
Well, you keep us updated on what's going on. Now, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they contact you?
They can call me at my office. It's area code 803.
Okay.
806.
Okay.
1461.
Okay.
Or if they need to email me, they can email me at ronald.taylor.
Okay.
Number one?
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Number1@us.army.mil.
.mil. Okay. Yes. Well, listen, I certainly hope you'll keep me in the loop because I love putting information out about our veterans and what is happening out there. So as you get more information available, I certainly hope you will let us know what you're doing out there.
And I will, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the National Guard. It's a great organization and doing great things.
Well, listen, I just had a question come in. Have you got 1 second? Maybe you can talk to me for a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Randy Britton is a wounded and disabled veteran, a 21-year master sergeant. Does this mean one place with many offices or one place, one office with a tutorial? And again, he asked, is there a website?
Yes, ma'am. The National Guard has created a one-stop shop in Columbia. So that one-stop shop is exportable. And we also have family assistance centers, so if someone needs assistance, there's 9 different locations in Columbia that they can go to receive assistance, and anything we can do for them, we'll be glad to do it for them. And there is the National Guard does have a website, and it's like our National Guard website, and also a Facebook page. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and is there a specific place that a veteran like Randy would go to check out information or not at this present time?
Yes, ma'am. He can go to the South Carolina National Guard website, and he can click on family programs and information about the South Carolina National Guard and family programs within that website. Yes, ma'am.
That's great. Well, listen, I certainly appreciate this. We are actually General Livingston. I hope you'll stay with us just a minute. We were going to hear a quick word from our sponsors,
sure,
get some of these questions that are coming in. Colonel Taylor, thanks so much, and I wish you all the best in developing the best program for our veterans out there.
Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, General Livingston, you hold on. We'll
okay.
be right back. Don't go away. We got a lot more to talk about coming up.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday,
oh,
happy days.
That's right here. We're back here. I'm Ann Eller. Yes, if you've got a question, you can still give us a call, 229-7984. I have our Adjutant General, Major General Robert Livingston on here with us today. We did have Colonel Taylor on. He had to go. He's in charge of a new program that is designed to put, he is the Director of Military and Family Programs and Veterans Outreach. This is a program that you were very passionate about getting set up, weren't you, General Livingston?
Yes, I am. We've made great strides, but we still have a lot of outreach to do. And the key is connecting to those veterans out there. And, you know, it's a two-way street. We need the veterans to contact us, too. And you talked about that, the contact numbers. Just to clarify on the website, our website is scguard.army.mil, M-I-L.
Okay.
And if you just Google South Carolina National Guard, it comes up first. And this one-stop shop is over at the Bluff Road Armory at 1225 Bluff Road near the Carolina Stadium.
Wow, that's great, because that was one of the questions we just had come in from David. He wanted to know where the office was actually located. So you answered that question. And he also wants to know this meeting that's going on for retirees next week in Spartanburg. Can you tell us where that is again, please?
That's going to be at the National Guard Armory at USC Spartanburg. It's right across from the soccer field. And backed off the back side of it is a little football slash soccer field, but it's a combination use facility up there at USC Spartanburg.
So, and that meeting is going to be at 9 o'clock.
It'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's right. Rise and shine early. Take a trip up there. I'm sure that you're going to have a lot of information that's hopefully going to update people, because it is one of the things that is such a problem for so many of our veterans to get all the information.
It is, and it's hard for us to get information back from the veterans, because, you know, people go on with their lives, and sometimes we lose contact. Either we fail to track them, or they fail to let us know where they've gone. So it's a good thing to go out to the community every once in a while, and that's what we want to make sure we're doing.
Well, I think that's great. Now, you know, you are very passionate about veterans. They all have served. And one of the conversations we had when you were here back in September on the show, we talked about our Vietnam vets. And you know, they're running all these stories on the History Channel and everything. And one of the things that really got to me, General Livingston, was the fact that when our guys came home, I saw a story where this one guy was so proud to be coming home after serving in Vietnam, and people were so ugly. And it is such a shame, and that hurt. That doesn't go away.
No, that does not. In fact, is some of my senior people in the National Guard today, in fact, is my command chief and my, my command chief, he was a helicopter pilot late in the Vietnam War, and he still remembers that. And then he did serve during the Iraqi campaign, and you know, he can really bring that change of the American awareness to life for you. And we've had long conversations about that.
And, you know, I think one of the other things that struck me as I've been watching and I've been talking to veterans is the fact that actually the killing is killing, but the combat is different between what they experienced in Vietnam and what they are experiencing over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
It is, some of it's the same. I mean, we still have the ambushes, we had booby traps and things like that in Vietnam that maimed people. But it was a lot more of a certain extent, a force-on-force, where you could sometimes, at least, identify the enemy in Vietnam. Today, the enemy melts back into the population, and one day with the population, they are your friends, and then the next day, because of either intimidation or money or whatever, they're not your friends. And it is a society that does not have the same structure that you had in Vietnam. And of course, you talk to the Vietnam veterans and you look at the history of Vietnam, you think, well, how much more could it get unstructured? Because Vietnam was very difficult to tell who was the enemy and who was the friends. But it, believe it or not, it's even more difficult in today's war. Our veterans deal with some issues that are an extension of some of the things that our veterans are dealing with out of Vietnam. Similarities, but also some very stark differences.
Sure. I don't think it was as... Well, my husband is a Vietnam veteran. It's not as close and personal as it was when they were in the jungle in Vietnam. Versus a desert where you can see everybody.
You get hit by an improvised explosive device, or you have somebody in a village pull a gun on your troops and kill one of your people. It gets pretty up close and personal, and I think that's just maybe a little bit of a misperception.
Okay.
It is very. I mean, we yes, our technology has increased where sometimes we're able to drop a you know, a laser guided munition on a an isolated insurgent or you know, terrorist. But in today's war, the terrorists are standing right beside the village people that we're trying to protect. So it does get up close and personal. And that's kind of a misperception that the news gives out there, because they don't always understand the wars we're fighting it today. It is a counterinsurgency very similar to what we finally started fighting in Vietnam late in the war.
Well, I just do you think we're going to do you think we're always going to be at war over there? Do you think we're ever going to get out?
You know, I think we have an opportunity, and I'm not as closest to the war as I was a year ago, but I can talk about trends, and I can talk about my troops' experiences and the people I talk to over there. I continue to talk to people, and I think we continue to make progress with the Afghan security forces, which is part of the key. But the huge key of this is the economic development and the good governance, the rule of law in Afghanistan. You know, when you're sitting with an average age of early 20s, when you're sitting with 40 to 50 to 60% unemployment, according to where you are in the country, when you look at an average age of or an average lifespan of less than 45 years old, you really have that those people that are looking for something to grab hold to. And if we can give them an opportunity, then they are less likely to want to waste their lives on suicide missions and hurting other people. And that we're making progress with that. We're reintroducing agriculture, which was their mainstay back in the 70s, before the Russians destroyed all of that, or the Soviets did. We're making great progress. The fact is, South Carolina is starting to send, we sent one before, but we're starting to send an enduring agricultural team to Afghanistan to teach agriculture while we're still fighting a war. So that's those are the type of approaches that we're using, and we're getting close. We're getting close where the Afghans can control their own battle space. We're getting close where their government can control their own area. And it may not be the way we want them to, but they can do that. So we're making a lot of progress. And, you know, I think the withdrawal, as long as we do it in a responsible manner, we're gonna do the right things.
Well, I certainly hope so. And, you know, I've got to speak to the fact, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, we had the draft. And today, everybody that wants to be in the military signs up. And I just think that is so admirable that we have people that want to serve our country. What do you have to say about that, General Livingston?
I think it's wonderful. We have, and I tell you what, throughout history, we have had the premier military in the world. Even when we had the militia back during the formation of our country, and it's because of the individual responsibility that people take, and they want to do something good for that higher cause. And that's what makes America different than other countries, is that our people have that feeling that they want to do something to make a difference. And that 1% of the population that steps up today, they're just amazing young men and women. And we have, you know, the best military because of the great military we've had before us. We had the best military we've ever had. Now, it does concern me that is 1% of the population. And, you know, those are wonderful young men and women. They have a world view that most Americans do not have. They understand the world. And it concerns me on the other 99%. This is a different 99% than the Occupy Wall Street people, but that other 99% of the nation, they don't always understand the sacrifices that are made. And of course, I don't want to forget our policemen. I don't want to forget our firemen. So, you know, let's say another 3 or 4 or 5%, but it's still less than 10% of the nation is out there putting their life on the line every day to care for people. And I'm concerned about that gap.
I can understand your concern about that gap. And as we talk about this this group of people that are out there serving our country and doing good things, like you said, the police and of course the firemen and all people that are in this service type of thing, I would wonder what your thoughts would be as we move closer and closer to the super committee having to make decisions whether they're going to come up with something or whether we're going to go for these tremendous budget cuts. And of course, that would affect the military in a big way.
Oh, it would, and we are very concerned about that. As I mentioned before, we were up with the heads of our military this past week, having some very frank conversations. And if the super committee is not able to reach a consensus on cuts, we're going to devastate our military and other abilities to serve the people of the United States, and we may jeopardize the safety of our country, and that's a very serious thing. I think the super committee, is based on the people I know, and I don't know many of them, but I know a couple of them, to include our great Congressman Clyburn, that they understand the stakes, and they understand we have to come to some consensus. Now, whether it is a bridging strategy that takes us a couple of years out, or mm-hmm. whether it is an actual solution, that $4 trillion solution that we all are looking for, I don't know. But I just have faith in them that they'll at least bridge us until next year, and I hope that they will come up with this grand solution that will at least put us back on the right track. Because as a citizen and in my other life as a business person, I am very concerned about where we're headed with our debt, because it's going to be debilitating in a couple of years, and it may get past the point of no return, and we need to make sure we don't get to that point.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I have one question, and then I want to ask you one other thing, and we'll finish up here so you can go have some lunch here. We had Brad Millick. Canny, I guess. He was in the Air Force. He lost a hand. He is just back from Brooks Air Force Base. He wants to know if this program covers all vests or just the National Guard.
Well, it comes from the National Guard, but we are open to helping all veterans. We are in this together. And so if we don't have the program that will help you, we will get you to the right people. So I'm not going to, this is not just my people, this is all of our veterans that have served our country so well. We may not have the solution, but by George, we'll find the solution. Just give us a call.
That's right. And that number to call, 803-806-1461. So give them a call. They want to help. And what I like about this, General Livingston, is the fact that you've put civic groups, nonprofit groups, all together under one, rather than, well, let me call the Wounded Warriors, let me call this one, let me call that one. You can go here, and you will assist in getting them to the right places.
That's right. And as we talked about before, you know, it's all of soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors, Coast Guardmen, they're looking for their own service to reach out to them. And that's what we're trying to do. And sometimes they don't want to deal with the website. Sometimes they don't want to deal with a 1-800 number of, you know, some faceless voice there. We're going to give a face that wears a uniform, and then we're going to take your hand and carry you to where you need to go. And we're going to help you there.
I think that is terrific, and I know that you are very passionate. I think this was an excellent idea. I was telling my husband Jeff about this. He goes, "Why haven't they already done this?"
Good question. Good question.
It is a good question.
And I tell you, I appreciate Jeff and the sounding board he's been through you, his service in Vietnam. And, I said this last time, but that is an incredible. We talk about the greatest generation, World War II, and they truly are. They left their homes and, they went forth and didn't know when they were coming home. It's no rotations, no anything. They just went and did. But this Vietnam generation is an incredible group that they did what their country asked them to do, when it wasn't the popular thing to do. There wasn't people cheering them when they left. There weren't people cheering them when they got home. But they did what their country asked them to do. And then that's incredible.
It is incredible, General Livingston. But the thing that hurts my heart the most is to see the pain. And there is pain there from those that came home. And, you know, I've talked to so many Vietnam vets, and they don't want to talk about it. You know, I had somebody on the other day, and he goes, and vets talk to vets. They don't talk to people that haven't served.
Right.
And I said, well, I understand that. But as a woman, we always think you guys should talk about it.
You sound like my wife.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, I would like to have your wife on the show to talk to us sometime.
Oh, and she will talk about family. She is a true commander's wife, a veteran in herself, because she has reached out to families during our deployments, after our deployments, and just y'all would have a wonderful conversation. But the point you made there of vets talking to vets, that's the point that I'm making, is that they don't want to just talk to anybody. We want to reach out a veteran from Afghanistan and a veteran from Vietnam. There's some linkage there.
That's right.
And we can reach out and hold hands, and there are still some things, and, you know, like we say, you come back from a combat zone, you're different. That doesn't mean you're better or worse. It just means you're different. And there are some things you have to work through, and there's some things that come up 30 years later that you have to work through, and we want to be there to help you with that. We can't do it for you. I can't adopt you, can't take you home. You can stay in my house one night, but you can't stay forever. We can get you in the right path and then help you solve your own problems.
Well, I think that's nothing more commendable than putting a hand out there and saying we can help. Now, what about employers? Colonel Taylor said about employers that if there's employers out there, how do they get, I'll use the word, hooked up with knowing that there is a positions that can be filled?
For right now, please call Colonel Taylor. 806-803-806-1461 number.
Right.
Call Colonel Taylor. Now, we are working with the Employment Workforce Development with the state. They can go through the local offices. We are working that way. We're working through Employer Support of Guard and Reserve, just increasing that awareness and increasing that one-on-one contact. We're going to solve this unemployment problems among our veterans, one veteran at a time. I can't wave a magic wand and 1,000 people get employed. But Ronnie talked about the 100 or so that we've already done even before we've introduced the program, and that is an employer saying I need someone, and a veteran saying I need a job, and it is our purpose to link those two. So please give us a call, and I will guarantee you will get more than your money's worth out of a veteran.
Absolutely, because they are some of the best committed people that I know.
They understand there's something much, much bigger than themselves.
You're right. Now, let's see. One more question I wanted to ask you. Let's see. We talked about the employers. Where is that meeting next week for retirees from the National Guard? In Spartanburg?
The one in Spartanburg. It is at USC Upstate at the National Guard Armory, the 228th National Guard Armory, right across from the soccer field. And then we have another one in Columbia at the Bluff Road Armory at 9 o'clock at that 1225 Bluff Road on Friday.
on Friday. And of course, you're going to be unrolling a lot of information that's out there and can help them. And I just wondered if you would, I know tomorrow is Veterans Day. I'm sure you're speaking at places. Tomorrow morning on my morning show, we're actually going to have a salute to our veterans. We've got a lot of people that have called in. I've pre-recorded some messages. I would like to know if you would like to say something out there to our veterans that I can play for tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. Y'all make it possible for my children and my grandchildren to live in this wonderful country and to have the same opportunities that I have. And I want to thank you so much, every generation that's out there, for providing us not only our freedoms, but the environment to build a better military every time that we have to go forward and engage in an enemy that threatens our homeland. So just thank you so much.
Absolutely. This is Major General Robert E. Livingston, Jr., the Adjutant General for South Carolina. It has been my utmost pleasure to have you on the show today. Thanks so much for calling us, and I'll be calling you again to come on again.
Thank you so much, Anna. I had a wonderful time, and happy Veterans Day, and thanks to you and your husband and all of those great veterans up in the upstate.
Thank you so much, General Livingston. Have a great Veterans Day tomorrow.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right. That is Major General Robert E. Livingston, Jr., right here on WLMA. Hey, I think we ought to hear a quick word from our sponsors. And yes, we'll be right back. Don't you go away. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I love giving thanks to our veterans.
The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Monday, happy days, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's right. I did let Colonel Taylor go. He, of course, is the service member and family care director for the National Guard. They have put together a program that is putting all the services in a one-stop shop, whether it's the Yellow Ribbon, whether it's Wounded Warriors. They want all of this together so that veterans can get the help and support that they need without having the runaround or wondering, did they get all the things they should get? I thought General Livingston made a very important point, though. If you don't reach out to them, they can't reach out to you, because when you move or you go on to someplace else, they can't find you that easy. So if you'd like to know more about this, give them a call. Colonel Taylor's office down there is 803-806-1461. That's 803-806-1461. So give them a call. Get the help. Get the services that you need. I tell you one other thing that I like that General Livingston said. It'll be a Vietnam vet helping a Vietnam vet. It will be a Iraqi vet helping an Iraqi vet. So if you would like to have someone that can help you, give them a call, 803-806-1461. Next week, on Wednesday, up there in Spartanburg at 9 o'clock on the USC campus, is the National Guard office there. They want you to come out next Wednesday if you are a retiree. Get out there and see them. You'll be glad you did. Hey, I am Ann Eller with you here today. All our veterans out there, active military and retired, thanks so much for serving and keeping us free. And as General Livingston said, you do it for us, you do it for our grandchildren. Thank you so much. Hey, this is your favorite radio station right here, WLMA. I'm Ann Eller. I'm going to be back in the morning with a very, very special program. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood. I'm Ann Eller, and yes, I'll be back in the morning with a very special program for you. Certainly hope you'll tune in. It is my salute to all our veterans and active military people. So please tune in tomorrow morning on the I Love Ann Show, live from Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, quick note while I've got you here on the phone. You know the price of gold, I talk about it going up. I talk about it going down. Well, guess what, folks? Don't let this price slip away from you. Oh, my goodness. The price of gold. You know what? Gold right now is, where is it at? Let's double check it. Let's refresh that number and get the accurate figure. Right about $1,754. Silver is at right at $34. So don't let it slip away. This is a great price to sell at, but it could go down more. Could go up, but right now it is trending down. Come see us today. Got a question? Give us a call. 229-6613. That's 229-6613. That's going to do it for me. Adios, amigos. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. News is in progress, and then America's News Network comes up right here on WLMA. Bye-bye, everybody.